Hey everybody, you are tuned into the heritageradionetwork.com. This show is Flash Talks Cash, and I am Joanne Flash Fleming. This is the show about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. We're on every Thursday afternoon from 4:30 to 5 p.m., and we are sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. It's the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com, H-E-A-R-S-T-R-A-N-C-H. Okay, I'm here today with the regular cast of character. That would be Andrew Newman. Sometimes the invisible co-host, but the other times the invincible co-host. And I want you guys to know that we will take calls during the show. All you have to do is dial 718-497-2128. That's 718-497-2128. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to send an email instead, it's info at heritageradionetwork.com. If you can't listen live, to those of you who are listening on the archives or the podcast, you know that you can listen off the website. The archive, every episode is archived on the website, or you can download a free podcast from iTunes and listen to us anytime, all the time. Okay, I just want to get started. I always forget to thank my engineer and my producer, so I'm going to start the show with thanking my engineer, Nat Wiener, and my producer, Jack Inslee. Thanks, boys. We're going to talk today. Our show is tracking business income and expenses for the financially challenged. Also could be for the organizationally challenged.
You want to make this a quick show and just tell them to hire someone?
Yeah, well, that's one of my suggestions, but not everybody's going to do that. So we have I'm going to just talk about the kinds of things that happen to people who don't really stay on top of it.
Can I jump in and just wish my friend Timmy a happy birthday? Oh, it was yesterday.
Timmy. I hope he's listening. Timmy, you should send us a thank you email or a phone call so we know you're really listening. And ask us a question or tell us something about your finances. All right. So we're going to talk about the financially or the organizationally challenged. First, I want to tell you that if you're bad at keeping books, and a lot of people are bad at keeping books, first of all, forgive yourself. It's just not your strength. Lots of creative people are very talented, but they are lousy at keeping track of their receipts, their income, their bills, their expenses, and they often fall into a deep, dark hole, and they either don't get around to preparing their paperwork, and they don't file their tax returns.
A deep, dark hole?
Deep, dark hole, because after you
miss... Is that your way of saying that they fall behind and just hide their head in this deep, dark hole, or...
So whatever you want to say, they fall behind as far as sometimes they don't file the return for a year. And then the next year they go, oh my God, I didn't file last year and I'm just not ready to do it again this year because I have the problem from last year.
One year leads into another.
And then before you know it, year after year after year, and it becomes a psychological problem, a block. They have anxiety and stress about it. It could be 10 years. It's not unusual for someone to come to me and very embarrassed and full of shame and guilt.
And then the IRS seizes your bank account and you can't do anything at all.
That often gets them to take some action.
That gets someone's attention.
Yeah. And that's the reason why they do it. But they just want you to file your tax returns every year and they'll take you back in the fold and they'll be very welcoming.
Like the nurturing mother that the IRS is.
Yeah. Well, they just want you to file. So what do you do? What do you do if you're one of those people that just can't keep track of your receipts?
Can we go back to my original contention?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Hire someone?
Well, it's true. The first thing I want to tell you, look, if you're creative, and this happens not only to creative people, but it's common in creative people, hire an accountant or a bookkeeper. I'll tell you this, as an accountant, I am not as creative as lots of people out there, and when I need to have something done... like design a website, or if I need to have a a marketing plan, design a create graphics for me, or do I want to decorate my office or my house? I hire a professional. They're very creative. They're very good at this. They get it done. I could never do that. So my opinion.
That's obvious by what you're wearing today.
You're so funny. So I'm wearing a very nice outfit.
Okay? You're dressed for radio.
I'm dressed for radio. Oh, that's funny, Andrew. And so I say, if you can't do it, stop torturing yourself. It's like, it's cheaper than going to therapy about it.
Who goes to therapy? Because you don't pay your taxes.
Well, no, but they go to therapy because they're disorganized and they have stress and anxiety. And there's that 10-year thing where they haven't filed. And the penalties and interest with the IRS and the tax department are higher than probably what you would pay a bookkeeper.
Do
or
they
accountant.
Then abate that if you actually had no income or whatnot? Or how do they decide that? What is that?
What, the IRS decide?
Yeah.
Well, you file a tax return and then you tell them the reason why you weren't able to file.
Well, I had a friend who hadn't filed in years, and then they estimated a return for him, or estimated his income based on
the information,
like 1099s or W-2s,
correct.
And right. Then they just said, this is what you owe in tax.
Well, that's called a substitute for return. Since you didn't file a return, they prepare a return, and a substitute. And what they do is they slam you.
So you don't recommend doing that?
Oh,
don't
no.
Pay that off and just actually go see an accountant at that point?
Oh, no. Especially if you're a 1099 person, because they didn't give you one penny of expenses and deductions. It works fine if you have a W-2 and that's all you have. They're not even going to come after you if you have a W-2, because they already got your taxes. But if you have 1099s, and I'm talking about those kind of people who have 1099s, they're freelancers, they haven't paid anything to the IRS. And so they'll say, okay, you have a total of $45,000 of 1099s, and we're gonna make you pay taxes on the full 45. And if you're married, they'll prepare married filing separately, and they'll just slam you. They won't give you any credits, any deductions, any good write-offs. So no, don't let the IRS prepare your taxes for you.
Go to the professional.
Right. Or get a TurboTax. But if you're that organizationally challenged,
go to an accountant
or a bookkeeper to help you. So let's go through some of the options. First of all, you have to keep receipts.
What if you use debit card or credit card?
Save your bank statements.
Yeah, that's enough, right?
Well, there are people who throw them away.
Well, you can always get those. Well, you can get copies.
Well, people say that, but if they haven't filed for 10 years, the bank isn't even in business. If you had an account at some bank who's been merged now, listen to me. Save your receipts, which include your credit card statements and your bank statements. And if you can, save those little pieces of paper. Just throw them in an envelope.
How far back does the IRS actually go?
Well, if you didn't file, they go back until...
They go back until you didn't file.
Correct.
Even if you had no income or anything, they'll still come after you.
Well, if you have no income, you don't have to file. But as long as you have 1099s out there or W-2 or something, you're required to file. And if you don't file, the statute is open forever. If you filed, you only have to wait. They only have 3 years to go back. If you never filed, they can go back until you file. So save the receipts. Simple.
I guess.
Save the receipts.
If you don't file for 10 years, what do you need, a filing cabinet in your house to save these receipts?
Let me tell you, I have seen people come in with 10 years worth of perfectly organized package of receipts, bank statements, credit card statements, all sorts of perfectly filed paper.
So just an emotional block then, is what you're saying.
I told you, it's a deep, dark psychological block.
That's me.
After the first year or two, it just becomes a giant black hole.
That's me and the dentist.
Right. See, everybody's got their little hang-ups. And so some people have a hang-up with the accountant and the tax man. Probably not the accountant. It's really the tax man. So keep your receipts. Keep your credit card statements. Don't throw them away. I can't tell you how many people tell me, oh, I just throw them away. Don't throw them away.
I even throw them away.
Well, don't throw them away.
Gotcha.
See, you learned something today. And if you're in business, you have to save your receipts for 7 years. So get a damn file and store it in a little box. Come on.
Oh, that's it. You know, everyone has that much extra room in their apartment here.
Well, you're going to have to do that. Well, if you want to be an entrepreneurial and you want to make deductions, that's what you have to do. It's your responsibility.
Gotcha.
I can't help it. So you can get a program, QuickBooks, to help you if you can organize yourself to sit down. Some people can't do that.
Okay. But so what's the next option?
Some people are better at keeping spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets work?
Spreadsheets work. So you calculate, you put together all your expenses on one spreadsheet by category, and you calculate all your income by another spreadsheet. So you could say, okay, what's your income, what's your expenses, and you have two spreadsheets that summarize it for the year.
Sounds easy enough.
I can't tell you how many people don't track their income.
What if I just write it down?
You could put it in a simple book.
Okay.
keep a book. Because I tell people that if you're not computer savvy and you're not good at spreadsheets, and a lot of people aren't good at spreadsheets, that just keep a book. Don't let the IRS tell you how much you made last year because you think that so-and-so isn't sending a 1099 or you forgot that you worked there. Some people, a lot of people get numerous 1099s and they forgot where they worked last year and they forgot how much they made. And they're going to let the IRS tell them how much they made? I think you should be in charge. Be a little more proactive. Right?
I certainly am.
Okay. There's the envelope method.
Is this like a trademark method that I've never heard of?
The envelope method is stick all those little pieces of paper in an envelope. At least you have them in one place.
That's a method.
Well, yeah. It's better than having no receipts because if you...
That's retarded.
No, it's not.
You're retarded.
Because you can then take that envelope to a bookkeeper or an accountant and say, I don't know how much I made.
All right. Let me just throw the phone number out here. If you agree with me that Joanne is mentally challenged, the number is 718...
No, financially or organizationally challenged, Drew.
Can I finish the phone number? 718-497-2128. That number again, 718-497-2128.
Okay. Financially or organizationally challenged, Andrew. Now we're going to talk about... hiring. So you hire somebody to go through your envelopes. You know, it gets even more complicated. I have people. We live in New York City. It's an international city. We got people traveling. They have to convert their receipts from euros and pesos into U.S. dollars. It gets even more daunting. Hire somebody for a few hundred dollars or something. It's worth it to get this off your back. All right. Then once somebody sets you up, lots of people, they once they have the format, they can figure out how to do it themselves after the first year or two.
Usually.
Yeah. So you can learn. It works. It really works. Don't wait until April 15th to decide to put your papers and your numbers in order. You're going to set yourself up to fail.
Why?
Because
extensions. That's
right.
What extensions are for.
You're going to go for an extension. You're a classic procrastinator. And you're going to put yourself on and say, okay,
Why are you judging people?
It's because I've been in the business
for
a long time.
Oh, please.
And so
what if they were away? Vacation.
That's
other things come up in people's life. Don't call them procrastinators.
Okay, but they didn't have to wait till April 15th to decide to do their taxes. Well, you're going to go away in
April. Some people forget about April 15th. They do. Some people just forget it. I don't know how, but they do.
Okay, there are valid reasons to get an extension. I'm not saying it's not valid, but if you're a procrastinator, getting that extension on April 15th just tortures you a little bit more.
Why? Just call the accountant and say, I need an extension.
Of course, but make sure you get to the accountant before the 6 months are up. I'm talking about the people that haven't filed for 10 years, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Then there's this, the worst case scenario is if you don't have any of your records and you are behind on your taxes, you're probably going to have to estimate your income and expenses.
For what?
To do your taxes.
Why would you need to estimate if you have the information?
If you don't have your receipts.
If you don't have your receipts.
Don't have any receipts.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
Who has none?
There are people out there that don't have any receipts. They move. They had a fire. They had a flood. They broke up with their girlfriend. It's at their parents' house and they sold that house. There's all sorts of reasons. So the only thing I can offer you is estimate your expenses. You probably can contact the IRS, and they'll tell you how much income they have on account in your Social Security number. So they'll be able to help you with that.
Okay.
But you're going to have to estimate it. So that's what I suggest for somebody who is organizationally or financially challenged.
I think we should have just had the minute show where I said hire someone and call it a day.
Well, most of those people do need help. They can go to therapy, I'm telling you, or they can hire a bookkeeper or an accountant and get it done.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that was a good little wrap up there, Flash. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back in a minute and go to the next segment.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Of bread and such, you can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Okay, we're back. HeritageRadioNetwork.com/TalksCash. I think we have a question in the studio. Is somebody talking to me out there? Hello?
Apparently not. No, apparently we're having a mic issue. It's okay.
So we got a question from Will in Brooklyn. He wants to know if he's forgotten what his situation was the past few years. Can he call the IRS and see if he owes them anything?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that you could. I don't suggest that. If you haven't moved around a whole lot lately, let me just say this. If you filed a return last year or the year before, the IRS knows how to get in touch with you. If you have not filed a tax return for a few years back when, they will contact you and say, we are looking for a tax return. If they're not contacting you, you're all cool. You can call them. It's a horrible process. They put you on hold. You have to wait, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and they're intimidating. So I would say try not to do that, and if they're not bothering you, let it go and relax. And if someday they do come and bother you, then you need to contact me and Andrew, and we'll help you with that.
So sum that up.
Don't tell. Don't call them.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
So you got that, Will? Hopefully that helped out. Okay.
We got another question.
Oh, yeah. I was going to throw the number out there real quick to call in. It's 718-497-2128. That number is 718-497-2128. We have a question from Sima. She owns an internet company, and she sells products. So with an internet company, if you sell within the state that you're operating, you have to charge sales tax to those people, apparently. And she has a customer who wants to purchase her items and then resell them to someone else after that. She was wondering if she has to charge sales tax since they are in the state.
Okay, so normally you only have to charge sales tax once in a transaction. That's the law. So if you sell to a customer who you wouldn't normally have to charge sales tax, and they're saying, well, I'm going to resell the product and charge sales tax to my end customer, that becomes a wholesale transaction then. And that doesn't require any sales tax. So there are times when if you're normally a retailer and somebody's buying a bulk order or something like that and is going to ultimately resell your product, then you're off the hook and you don't have to charge sales tax on that one.
Do you have to get a resale certificate from that person?
Yes, that's a very technical question. That's a good question, Andrew. Yeah, there's a resale certificate. That's for people who charge sales tax. Call your accountant and get the sales resale certificate and put it in your file, and the sales tax people shouldn't bother you.
So that's it. So if you know that they are reselling within the state, then you don't charge sales tax?
Correct, but they'll produce a resale certificate.
So
you
have to get the resale certificate from them in order to actually sell this product to them?
If they don't give you a resale certificate, you charge a sales tax. They're all going to give you a resale certificate so they don't have to pay the sales
tax. So it's on them to actually get you the certificate.
Right. If
they say that they're going to be reselling it, they'll say, I have a... Okay.
Yeah, that's easy.
That was very nice. Okay.
So we're going to now go to the creative accountant segment of the show. Okay, we're back, and Andrew's going to tell us the three questions. Wait, let's go over the three this creative accounts. How does it happen? We pull three cards from Storymatic, and we put it out there. The last three cards we pulled last week for this week's story are...
A person with an excellent sense of smell, a television addict, and can't get down from the roof.
So we ask you listeners to take those three terms and make a non-fiction story or fiction story. A fiction story.
It's up to you. We won't know.
Yeah. But you have to include a financial component in the story. So this week... We have the man won't come down from the roof. What is it true?
A person with an excellent sense of smell, a television addict, and you can't get down from the roof.
That's the things this week?
That was them.
This is it?
That is it. Those are the cards.
I'm confused.
Do we have a problem?
Okay.
Are we having a technical difficulty?
Well, all right.
So I handed you that story already.
Well, we have a story.
Put your glasses on too, old lady. There you go. Get ready. There
we
you
have
go.
A story from...
Way to be prepared.
Hansa.
Hansa.
Hansa. He submitted a story.
Did you make up this story?
No.
Along with his name?
Trust me, I didn't make it. Edward Cox took a break from his marathon of old episodes of The Real Housewives of New York. The crick in his legs reminded him he should really have been doing crunches and sit-ups when he watched 5 straight hours of TV. He always said he would do it, but somehow he never did. He sucked in his paunch of a belly as he walked past a mirror on the way to the kitchen. No reason to look at that. He opened the fridge and reached for leftover pad thai in a doggy bag. He had no sooner grabbed it, then he stifled a gag from the smell of day-old spices. He knew the food wasn't bad, but his nose didn't like it. He held his breath to go to the garage where he kept the only garbage in his home. He couldn't bear to smell even a whiff of rotting or off things. He dumped the bag and went back to the kitchen to look at the fridge, which now contained 3 lemons, orange juice, and a jar of Dijon mustard. Damn. He rejected the idea of going out to eat because he still had a week until payday and funds were already short. He felt too tired to go to the grocery store. He found some stale crackers in the cupboard and walked upstairs. His bedroom had a window that opened up to a flat area of his roof just big enough for an old lawn chair and a large clay pot with a pink rose bush. He babied this plant with attention usually reserved for a beloved old dog or cat. He never forgot to water them. He liked to sit next to them when they bloomed, and so he sat down and opened his box of water crackers. He could only see his backyard from this perch, and he noted that it needed mowing, another thing he put off until he was sure neighbors would complain. He couldn't see the other houses in the neighborhood from over the point of his roof, and that was how he liked it. He came up there when he wanted to be alone in a way he wasn't in front of the TV or able to see the occasional neighbor walking a dog or driving home after work. The sun was setting and his crackers weren't doing much to staunch his hunger. A gray cat hopped gingerly down from an overhang of the higher part of the roof and rubbed his body against Edward's leg. "Where'd you come from?" said Edward. He didn't recognize the cat. After 2 more passes, the cat decided he was more interested in where it was going and hopped up into the open window. As it leaped, it knocked the beam of wood that kept the window open out of place, and it came down with a decisive thud and locked automatically from the inside. Vainly, Edward tried to pry open the window with his fingertips. He cursed the cat. In response, he watched the intruder pee on his bed. Edward cursed more. He would never be able to get that smell out of his mattress, and he certainly couldn't afford a new one. The sun set, and it got very dark. His pink roses became just rustled shadows. He tried calling for help, but no one came. He thought longingly of the cell phone he had left on the table in front of the TV. The only thing that kept him sane was the light perfume of the roses. He listed his options. He could kick through the window and risk gross bodily harm, and then what? His whole house was bound to smell like tomcat piss, and he would barely be able to get into it, let alone sleep there. He could jump, but a natural fear of heights kept that idea at bay. There had to be a better option. He called out for more help. When he sat back down on his canvas deck chair, his life began flashing in front of his eyes. How had he gotten to this point? He saw himself at work and he saw hour after hour of TV programming. From the old black and white episodes of I Love Lucy he was obsessed with as a kid, to the countless hours he spent the last few years keeping up with Lost, The OC, and then late night television. He'd meant to find a better paying job, but instead of spending evenings working on his resume and sending out cover letters, he watched Survivor and ordered takeout. He really screwed things up. He closed his eyes and imagined how his life could be different. He saw a beautiful blonde woman with dark eyes wearing a big engagement ring sitting on his bed. He saw a closet full of new navy suits. They were crisply ironed, and he saw himself putting them on and go to work at the bank looking like a promotion and real money. He saw little children running, playing tag on the freshly mowed lawn. When he came home, they ran to him and screamed, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." At 3 a.m, Edward fell asleep in his canvas chair and dreamed about being surrounded by yellow and red blooms in the largest rose garden he had ever seen.
Jesus Christ, is this a literary show or is this a financial show?
In the distance, he saw a gigantic red rose. As he walked towards it, it grew in size and intensity and took on orange and yellow hues. It glowed and drew him like a warm friend he had always knew, but he had forgotten. He opened his eyes directly on the rising sun and looked back down on his patch roof. As he kicked through the glass in the window, he knew with a certainty he had never had before that this time he was going to change his life. Glass shattered everywhere, and through force of will, ignored the overwhelming stench of cat piss. As he climbed through the window and into his bedroom, he pulled the flat screen TV off the wall opposite his bed, and he kicked through the shattering glass and silicone chips. The big screen downstairs took 5 whole kicks to demolish. He opened the front door, and the cat got lost fast. He flipped open his phone to call in sick to work. There was so much to do, and he wanted to use every moment of the day.
So where's the financial aspect?
I think he needs to...
I think we need to put a limit on this. 250 words, maybe? I don't know, because I think you just talked for five... You read for 5 minutes straight.
That's okay. It was a good story.
It was a very good story. There was no financial aspect.
Well, now we got to tell...
He's getting a new job?
Well,
we got to tell him
to
get a new job.
He has to get a new job because he's going to have to buy a new TV, because a person like that is not going to go off the TV like... Just like, but maybe he'll go for rehab.
Why not?
Maybe he'll go to rehab. 12-step program.
It's like kicking cigarettes.
You can
just throw them out one day, and that's it. Cold turkey.
And then he'll never watch TV.
Yeah, why not? But
he has to fix a broken
window.
This
isn't a personal advice show.
No, it's a story. It's a creative account. So what is his problem?
I don't know.
He needs to go to a 12-step program. He won't have to spend any money on that.
Well,
instead of going to therapy. Instead of going to therapy.
Is it Dr. Flash Talks Cash?
Listen, he crashed his TVs. He's got an anger issue, or he's frustrated.
Yet again.
And he called in sick.
Okay, so he missed a day of work.
Right.
Has to buy a new TV, and he broke his window.
And he doesn't handle finances very well.
How do you know?
Well, he said that.
So tell him to get QuickBooks, new job, and get a life. Is that good? Did we sum that one up?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
That was a good story, Hansa.
So let's talk about next week's three.
Well, can we just put a limit on the stories? I think 250 words should be a good cap at this point.
Then they have to count the word, or I have to count the words.
Well, they can count their words. In Word, you do a word count.
That was more than 250 words?
It was definitely more than 250 words.
All right. Hansa, thank you for that long story.
Words. All right. Next week, we have a slowpoke, a principal, and equipment malfunction.
All right. Good. Well, that sounds interesting. And so I just want to close the show today. I want you guys to know that we'll be back next week, and we're going to talk speak finances. Okay? Finances.
Like, is that a new word too?
Yeah.
Make up new words every week, I see.
Well, sometimes I make up new
words. There's braggadocious. Now we got finances.
Yeah. I like those. And donatious. Don't forget that one. I like that. That's one of my favorite
words. You haven't used that on the show yet.
Hey, guys. Fact check. Braggadocious. A real word.
Oh, look at that.
Thank you, Jack. See, I didn't make that up.
I don't like Jack.
Yeah. And so I want to just let you know, if you like what you hear, then tell your friends, tell your family, tune in, and we'll be happy to bring you into the family.
We're family?
We're the radio listeners are going to be an extended family of Flesh.
Of ours?
And Andrews. Maybe they'll come for Christmas.
I have a hard enough time with my
family.
Listen,
we should talk about...
I think we're done.
Prizes next
week. I think Jack wants us to go.
Prizes next week.
Fact check, time is up. We'll talk about it next week.
Next week. Thank you. Bye.